300 years ago, on Easter Sunday, European explorers landed on a South Pacific island they called Easter Island, and they were shocked to see giant statues called moai. They're carved from volcanic rock with stoic faces, square chiseled jaws, and unsmiling lips. And there are plenty of Western theories about them.
There is no voice to tell who carved the giants and why hundreds of them were destroyed in the Easter Island Massacre.
Could it be that this remote civilization ultimately destroyed itself over the moving and raising of their sacred moai?
But the people native to the island say their oral history has always had answers to these questions. The real question is, why hasn't anyone been listening? Felix Poon of the podcast Outside In from New Hampshire Public Radio tells us more.
When Europeans first arrived on Easter Island in 1722, they were shocked to see nearly 1,000 statues. And they didn't think that the indigenous people of the islands could have possibly carved and moved them. A great civilization must have been here before, they thought, but something must have happened to them before the Europeans arrived. The theory that's most popular, even to this day, is that the people of Easter Islands cut down trees to make contraptions for moving moai, as rival clans fought over who could build the biggest ones. All this statue making and moving supposedly got so out of hand that the island was completely deforested and society collapsed in starvation and warfare. But here's the thing. The indigenous name of this island is Rapa Nui. And Rapa Nui people say their ancestors didn't need to cut down any trees to transport the moai. And it wasn't until recently that Western science finally caught up to what Rapa Nui people have known all along. Archaeologists Terry Hunt and Carl Lippo were instrumental in this. Their research on Rapa Nui in the early 2000s upended the old collapse narrative. And I'm not going to go into all the details here, but what they found was that deforestation was most likely caused by rats, not a reckless obsession with statues. They found that there was no evidence for genocidal warfare. And while there was a population crash on Rapa Nui, it was not, in fact, self-inflicted.
People were carving statues and looked up and saw white sails on the horizon.
This is Terry Hunt.
And the profound changes that would come with that visit could be the end of statue making.
Early European written accounts describe Rapa Nui as a destitute and impoverished place. The James Cook expedition of 1774 noted a small population of less than 900 people, and even human bones on the surface. But James Cook wasn't the first European to visit Rapa Nui.
What they're witnessing is the aftermath of the Spanish visit 4 years earlier. And the aftermath of a European visit at that time would have been epidemic disease.
Smallpox swept through the population, leaving a significant number of Rapa Nui dead. The population bounced back some, but in the 1800s, whalers and slave traders began kidnapping Rapa Nui people into slavery. Dozens at first, then hundreds. Peruvian and Spanish slave raiders abducted as much as half of the island's population. Most were forced to work in guano mines in Peru. Guano, or seabird excrement, was a highly sought-after field and crop fertilizer. Harvesting it was really brutal work and unsafe. About 90% of them died from disease and dysentery. Finally, under international pressure, Peru agreed to repatriate the Rapa Nui. About 100 were shipped back to the island, but only a handful of them survived the trip. And the ones that did make it back brought another smallpox epidemic with them.
This is the collapse that was misinterpreted from the early days of where were all the people? Well, they're dying of disease that you introduced that you're not aware of. And then there are people being taken away in slave trading during the 1800s. And, you know, this you can see how the story forms as a complete misinterpretation.
But this isn't where the story ends. The people of Rapa Nui are more than the tragedies of their past. The moai and the ingenuity with which the ancestors of Rapa Nui moved them are a great pride of the island. The oral history survived colonialism, and it's been passed down from generation to generation of Rapa Nui people. And that story is that the moai walked So the Moai you're used to seeing stand upright, lining the coast. But before they ever got there, they were carved in quarries several miles away. There are others along a network of roads that never made it to the coast. And these road Moai have a forward lean. And because they have lower centers of gravity and a rounded front edge, they're carved in a way that when you rock them back and forth, they move forward. Terry and Carl published all this in a book, and the National Geographic worked with them to prove their theory by walking a life-size replica in their documentary, The Mystery of Easter Island. After a whole day of failed attempts, they made one final adjustment, which was to have a third rope in the back with a team of volunteers holding the Moai upright from behind it.
With the 10 people in back and more people on each side.
And two teams pulling from the left and the right sides.
They're ready to try one last time.
Release the tension. How you guys doing? Ready? Set. Knee. Oh.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. It's working.
Awesome. Terry captured about 30 seconds of this on video on his smartphone. And later that night, he showed it to a Rapa Nui friend.
She watched it about 10 times in absolute amazement, seeing this 5-ton statue walk. And then she put her hands down to her waist, like the hands of a Moai. She began to rock back and forth, like a statue walking. And she began to sing a song. And I said, "What's the song?" And she said, "It's the Moai walking song." And I said, "You have a song?" She said, "Of course. We all learn the song when we're kids."
In fact, Terry presented their research to about 300 Rapa Nui people, and then he showed them the video.
I put the video up of the statue walking, and the entire audience started to sing the song. It was one of the most moving experiences for an archaeologist, because archaeology and tradition came alive in contemporary culture. It was just amazing.
Yeah, I really love to show that video to my guests because it's easy.
This is Gina Pakarati, a Rapa Nui tour guide. Before this video of the walking statue existed, tourists would come to Rapa Nui and expect to be told the collapse narrative of the island. And it was hard to cut through their preconceptions.
Sometimes when you explain just to the guests, and sometimes the guests don't really understand, but when you show them the video with that music, with that song, everything is changed.
But as big a deal as this was to the outside world, when I asked Rapa Nui people about this, they're not as excited as I thought they'd be. They've known this after all. They told me they don't need people to come in and tell them what they already know is true. I talked to Rapa Nui archaeologist Sergio Rapuhawa. He was the first to discover the archaeological evidence for the statue walking theory back around 1980. In fact, Terry and Carl relied on Sergio's research in their work. But Sergio's been left out of the spotlight. Even in the National Geographic documentary, Sergio was barely given any credit. But he says that's not all that important to him. Sergio was actually more excited to talk to me about a different discovery that he made on the island.
We started 13, 14 months digging continuously.
He and his team excavated pieces of white coral. And when he brought the pieces back to his lab, he noticed they fit together, like a puzzle. And as he assembled them, they began forming into these flat almond shapes, each with a hole in the middle. That's when Sergio had a thought.
My gosh. I got on my truck and dashed back to the place, back to the broken face of the statues laying on the ground.
And he put them right into the eye sockets of the face. They fit perfectly.
And I laughed. I said, "Hey guys, you have waken up our ancestor. Don't you see it?"
The Moai are said to represent Rapa Nui ancestors, so the discovery of the eyes of the Moai was a big deal for Sergio's team and to the whole island. And so the first thing he did wasn't to rush to publish. It wasn't to turn to the outside world with this new discovery. Instead, he turned back to his community, like the Moai, looking inward towards the island, not away from it.
We're all there, 500 people eating to celebrate the discovery of the eyes of the statues, and I was symbolically saying, we have waken up our ancestor. Our past is present.
For Here and Now, I'm Felix Poon.